I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here on a Tuesday, picking up the pieces from week three, getting ready for a little week four. Transitional stuff inside of our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans apply, simply understand fully and mortgage confidently. Tiki, Tierney, 855-212-4227. Fitzpatrick evaporated the magic, then it came back, then it dissipated again, then it came back. What's going on, TK? How are you
today? Man, I feel so bad for Chris Conte. I was just talking to Bart Scott.
The mush.
You got mushed because we were trying to think of greater ones than that. And there was one against the Jets. Mm-hmm. You remember in 1999, I believe it was. Garrison Hurst.
That was the year Vinny tested. Oh, you're talking about the – wait. I know. Opening day.
Yes.
You talking about opening day.
Yes. He goes 96.
No, that was 98.
That was 98. So 98.
Yeah, that was in San Francisco, 96 yards. Who did he mush? Mo Lewis?
We were trying to figure
it
out. No, Mo almost caught him.
Okay.
So Mo was on the end.
Yeah.
At the point of attack. He got blocked, but he chased him down. Mo Lewis, you know, whatever he was, like 250.
Good, number 57.
Exactly. Almost caught him at the goal line.
Yeah.
He caught him, but he already scored. But along the way, about 10 yards in, Garrison Hurst, mushed this dude. We can't figure out who it was because I can't see his number. The video's too old.
I got to look that up. So the mush is a little obscure. What really hurt was the 96-yard run to the house, which ended my opening day in defeat.
We're talking about Chris Conte and the epicness of the stiff arm. I mean, I don't know if I've seen one that bad.
That was awesome.
That was amazing.
You know what was so great?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, the reason it was great is because it was a tight end.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like it was a running back or a wide receiver who has the ball in his hands and is used to going 70 yards for a touchdown. It was a tight end, man.
You know what I thought you were going to say? And being a tight end is certainly different. It's you know, you don't see that as much from tight ends, obviously.
No.
But he kind of mushed him, and he didn't mush him the way he really wanted
to.
He said, get back here. Let me do this the right way. And they just yoked his entire family tree. It was embarrassing.
It happens.
So, I mean, everybody can clown on the kid, but happens.
Dude, he's a meme for life. Forever. That's never going away.
True.
I mean,
look at
watch
this.
It here on the network.
Now I gotcha. not quite. Now come in. There you go. Get out of here.
Dude, he lifted him off the ground, man.
Oh, boy. You know what, though? That would happen when you're lazy and you go to tackle with your chest.
You're right. You think you're
going to get mushed.
You're outweighed by 80 pounds. You think you're just going to push the guy out of bounds.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I'm stronger than you. I know it. You know it.
Uh-huh.
Let's go.
Yeah. You know how much leverage when you stand, at least if you're bent down
you're right.
And you crouch, you've got that.
That's why tight ends.
That's
why
position.
Tight ends get hit in the knees because DBs don't want that to happen.
Because they know it's coming.
Is. Seriously, it's coming.
Got a little something from mama here. Here you go. Oof, that was rough. All right, so the game. You know, I just want to play something for you. Listen to the way Ben Roethlisberger started his post-game press conference. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Go ahead, guys. So not only are the league's rules getting soft, but players' post-game press conferences are now started with apology.
Yeah.
Was that truly necessary?
No. Don't you think it's a joke? It's got to be. I mean, they're messing with the image that's out there about them. And Big Ben's old enough, he's mature enough, been around long enough that he can do that. You know what I mean? And Antonio Brown and he, I'm sure, had a disconnect. Is that the best way to position it last week, the last couple weeks or so?
A disconnect's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Getting targeted, but not big plays. The big plays are going to Juju Smith-Schuster.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to Washington. There's so much talent on that offense in Pittsburgh that Antonio Brown felt a little, I don't know, left out. He wasn't scoring touchdowns, and they weren't winning. And so he had a little hissy fit last week. And in order to – I think bringing levity is a way to mitigate it, is to make it go away.
Sure, if that's his intention.
And I think it
is,
though.
Maybe he's just apologizing. I don't know.
No, I think
you think Ben's playing his game?
Yeah,
really?
I do.
See, I didn't take it that way. I mean, I don't know for sure, but
do you ever hear Big Ben talk like that and do something out of? I don't know. He doesn't. He's not trying to. He's never humorous like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean it's a secondary footnote on the evening. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. They won a game that they absolutely had to win.
No doubt.
You know, and Fitzpatrick with the three picks in the second quarter.
Two of them, not his fault.
True. Yeah. Which is what I think is really interesting here, because the big question is, when does Dirk Koetter go back to Jameis Winston? Mm-hmm. Now, my opinion is certainly not week four. There's no way that's going to happen.
Short week, as we talked about yesterday.
Yep. Plus, he hasn't been in the facility 28 days. He hasn't practiced. And then, again, compounded with the fact that it's a short work week, I think that would be a little unfair to Jameis Winston, and quite frankly, unfair to the rest of the team. Hasn't practiced for 28 days. So even if you believe that Fitz... if this is the beginning of the end of the magic carpet ride for Fitzpatrick, or maybe somewhere in between, and you're inclined to go back to Winston, the prudent move, let him play in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which probably is the even worse for Jameis Winston to come back to.
Right.
Not being in real rhythm.
Because their defense is so good.
No question. So Fitzpatrick plays for week four, and then you reevaluate.
Yeah.
I don't think Dirk Koetter's got to give us anything yet.
I don't think he needs to. I don't think he should. It's a competitive disadvantage for them to declare what's going to happen, you know, prematurely. So absolutely. Let this week play itself out. And again, you back up to this game. Let's not also forget, Ryan Fitzpatrick, as bad as he seemed, and I sent you guys a text, this is Ryan Fitzpatrick doing Ryan Fitzpatrick stuff. As bad as it seemed, when you go back and look at it, it wasn't his fault.
I mean, responded to you, by the way. It came back as a message sent failure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was just too tired to send it again. But unlike these other yucks on the other side, at least I attempted to respond. And I've got the evidence to show it. These guys
BT.
Don't even respond
Thank
to
you,
yet.
BT. But when I go,
well, Santa's watching Power, and who knows what this guy's doing.
No, not
Lord
Power.
Knows what
it's,
that guy's
it's Power? It's not Power.
Well, he's catching up on Power.
I'm on the current season.
I thought you were watching the white, whatever.
He's watching anything but football.
Snowfall. I'm watching a lot of shows. I don't watch one
just
show.
Just not Monday Night Football.
Just not Monday Night Football. So when
I was watching that too. I just wasn't responding to you.
And so when I'm talking about Chris Conte getting his soul taken, you're like, crickets. I'm like,
nothing.
Dude, are you guys not watching this?
No, I know.
But you know what I mean. But anyways, you go back and look at the game. It wasn't all Ryan Fitzpatrick's fault.
100%.
The one, Mike Evans stopped running. I guess he thought the play was dead. It wasn't coming to him. Fitz throws it, obviously, right in the vicinity. He gets intercepted. The one at the goal line that was returned by Bud Dupree for a pick six. And he gets hit in his chest right as he's throwing it. Now, that's great defense, by the way. That's not anybody's fault. It's just great defense by the Pittsburgh Steelers to disrupt that throw so that it sailed on him. And then the other one was much of the same. So he also threw for 400 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he
again
lost confidence in himself because he made those mistakes early in the game. And let's also not forget, they almost came back and won this thing. So they only lost by a field goal after being down by 27 or 23 or whatever it was early in the game. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is still balling. He hasn't reverted to what everybody says, oh, this is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, he's not that at all. And so the incentive to sit him for Jameis Winston is not there. The question is, what's it going to take for Dirk Koetter to say, all right, it's time to go back to Jameis?
I would think an uneven performance against the Bears will do the trick.
But what if he plays great?
Well, then he's playing.
Yeah.
Then there's nothing to discuss. I mean, this is about self-preservation. Listen, I brought this up during the summer for a reason. Now, I didn't think Ryan Fitzpatrick would play this well.
Mm-mm.
And I kind of threw it out there like flippantly, like, well, if this happens to happen, then I didn't actually think it would actually transpire to this degree. Nobody did. I mean, and if anybody
He'd
says that they did.
They'd be lying.
They'd be lying here. So even those who were, like, whether it was in Buffalo or if you're a Jets fan, if you were exposed to Fitzpatrick for a full season, or you know, even in Houston for pockets where you've seen his ability to move the football and then do some nice things in short spurts, and then eventually kind of revert to be average or slightly below average, or on occasion implode. Nobody would be emboldened enough to say this, but I did say it because I thought it was one of the most interesting storylines coming into the season. Because you got a head coach who's coaching for his job.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that Dirk Koetter. And I don't know if they were lining up the firing squad and sending him into the quad last year, but they were beginning to kick the tires on doing that.
Right.
And, you know, if you go 4-12 this year, and many of us thought that they would, then Dirk Koetter's out of a job. I think that's just that's the nature of football in the NFL. So he's got to save his own behind. And we don't need to overthink this. If Ryan Fitzpatrick plays well against Chicago, Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing well in week 5.
Agreed.
If Fitzpatrick plays well in week 5, guess what? Newsflash, Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing in week six. It's a week-to-week evaluation because, quite frankly, it's a week-to-week league.
Yeah, and it's interesting that this is because most teams would never do it this way. You know, it almost feels like it's college in a sense where you're undecided about – you're seeing this in college actually right now with a bunch of schools deciding on their quarterbacks. Notre Dame did this. Miami did this. The UD sale, you can throw it up because I think it's actually the right decision. Notre Dame did it as well, and Clemson. So you're seeing, you know, these coaches make these decisions on quarterbacks. And if Kelly Bryant goes – I mean, not Kelly Bryant, if I'm forgetting the kid's name now that's starting for Kelly Bryant. Trevor Lawrence. If Trevor Lawrence goes out there and just lays an egg, I mean, Dabo Sweeney might be emboldened, if the game is tight, to put Kelly Bryant back in there because of how far he got him last year. And so it's weird to see it in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in college, and it's okay.
But the reason it happens in college a lot is because you're trying to preemptively dissuade somebody from transferring. If you have a kid who's highly recruited and he's not getting run, and you've got a guy who's in front of him who's a little wobbly, go get him. Because the kid's going to transfer.
Yeah, but is it?
The transfer market, you know, this college hoops, college football, it's radically different than it's ever been.
Yeah.
It's almost like a free agent market. It's become an essence.
But how, I mean, isn't that akin to a coach trying not to get fired?
No, because guys are under, well, no, I don't think it is because guys are under contract in the NFL.
Yeah.
They can't leave. The only thing that can happen is the coach could get fired.
Yes.
I mean, obviously players could get cut if it's not too punitive to the team. Like Derek Carr next year, we've talked about that. If they want to move on and 50-50 that they do, maybe 50-50 is not right. Maybe 70-30 they might.
Yeah.
Or at least kick the tires if he doesn't play well the rest of the year and they want to really fully reboot, save some money. You know, same Eli, Giants are staring at that situation eventually where it's just not overly damaging financially. It doesn't wreck your cap if you get rid of somebody here. I mean, listen, the NFL is crazy this year. Here we are. It's not even October. And there's just a multitude of occurrences that I don't really know what's what yet. Like, the NFL is
with teams,
jacked up right now.
With teams and players everywhere.
Divisions,
you know, some of the stars. I mean, Le'Veon Bell has not put on a uniform yet.
Nope. And it's not going to happen anytime soon, right?
Agreed. We're looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers who go on the road and win in a must-win game. And kudos to Coach Tomlin and the Steelers for doing that. And they showed a stat, which was shocking. In his last 14 road games, he's 12-1-1. It's amazing.
Tomlin.
It's amazing what he's done. Some of those are in must-win situations. A lot of them are early, and the division was weak last year, so it explains a little bit of it. But still, I mean, you go on the road, you have to win a game. I'm talking about yesterday. You have to win this game. If Mike Tomlin is under more fire if they lose this game tomorrow, and he finds a way to come through and win it. But they do it without Le'Veon Bell, you know, one of the best players in football. Can you imagine any other coach losing their best player? And I'll say Le'Veon is probably maybe Antonio, second best player, losing their one or two.
Excluding quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, yeah. Quarterbacks are
okay, go ahead.
Story. You're one or two best position players and then still going out and putting up 30 points and winning
Belichick's
a game on the road.
Belichick's
the
one without Gronk. Belichick's one without Edelman. But Belichick's in his own file.
Exactly. He's a different animal. And their schemes are or at least they used to be. I think people are starting to figure him out a little bit.
It's a short list, to your point. It's a short list to be able to overcome that.
But
Tomlin deserves props. It was a big game.
He deserves props.
The whole
props.
Nation was watching.
I agreed.
You know, ready like vultures to pounce.
And it didn't matter the excuse.
No. If they would have lost, he would have been pummeled today.
You're right.
And even in victory, I'm not so sure that it fully absolves him in the eyes of some. I think it just kind of kicks it down the road a little bit because Steeler fans, they don't really have issues with Mike in September.
No.
They've got issues with Mike losing playoff games when they're either favored or, in theory, have the better roster or both. You know, that's really and also the looseness, if you will, to the way the franchise is kind of run here. But, I mean, that's a great stat. I mean, when you go on the road and you're against 70,000 people at a 53-man roster and you win, what was it, you say 12 out of 13?
12-1-1.
I mean, there's no need to overthink that.
Basically,
that's impressive.
Lost once in 14 road games. Now,
that's
the tie
was
Cleveland, as we all knew this year, but still, that's impressive.
It is. 855-212-4227. I got a question for everybody. So, we've seen three games of the Steelers here, and Teek and I will get into this coming up at the top of the next hour here, where we kind of glossed over it yesterday, but we'll really dive into it about, you know, Le'Veon Bell and what's a possible landing spot? What's the most likely situation? And when does it come to fruition? All that stuff we'll get to. But we've had three games to really evaluate the Steelers. Three different, you know, at home, on the road, three different levels of competition. The Steelers without Le'Veon Bell. You know football. You know what he's asking. And you know what these Steelers right now, who they are. Should they cave? Or do they need to just kind of remain firm to this and move forward without him? 855-212-4227. Also, if you're Dirk Cutter, what are you doing with Fitz? Do you... You give him the whole game against Chicago? Do you give him a half? Do you give him more room? I mean, he's three games in a row, 400 yards. So there's some coaching decisions out there and some organizational decisions out there that will certainly shape the rest of the season, and they're not easy ones to make. We'll get to inbounds, out of bounds. Shaquem Griffin from Seattle, rookie linebacker, joins us. It's a reality check Tuesday as well. And Teak, we'll do some hoops later on as LeBron spoke, Carmelo spoke. NBA training camps have become a big thing, and we'll hit that as well. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you use your hard-earned money to buy stuff, you want to get as much out of it as humanly possible. The professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts understand that kind of thinking. Not only do they have their famous O'Rewards program, but now it's O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. For a limited time, you can get double points on 250 items throughout the store. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll find double point offers on appearance items, oil specials, and more. You can get what you want, save money, and get double points. You'd have to be crazy to turn down double points. If you're not an O'Rewards member yet, head to your nearby O'Reilly Auto Parts and sign up. Signing up is easy. Once you're a member, you'll start receiving rewards points for getting what you want and double points during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And don't forget, check out O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance on a Tuesday. As we, week three's in the books. Week four is creeping up. Good one on Thursday between the Vikings and the Rams for sure. A couple of the best teams in the NFL. The one thing about, and we'll get to these calls about what you would do with Bell if you're running the show for the Steelers. Excuse me. What you would do with Fitzpatrick if you're running the show for the Bucks. But the one thing I was looking for was a clue, and you hit on something. I don't even know if you meant to, but you certainly stepped on it, and it was on point, about Mike Evans, you know, kind of putting the thumb at his own chest. I ran the wrong route. Yep. I was supposed to go ahead. And I was trying to get a sense post-game, like, based on the quotes of his teammates, are they ready for James to come back? Or, and no, it's the latter. They want to roll with Fitz. You could just tell if you extrapolate, you know, most of their quotes when they get away from the benign nonsense, you know, that they have to talk about. Everybody took blame. Mike Evans was one. Cameron Brate, their tight end, stood definitely not on Ryan completely tonight. That's a quote. He had a couple of turnovers, but it seemed like we had issues in protection. We gave him no time. We didn't give him a clean pocket. He played really well, I think. You know, more from Evans. It looks like, too, man, they want to keep going with Fitz for another week here.
Look, BT, we talked about this yesterday as the show was closing, who we thought were going to win the game. And we both thought the Buccaneers would win this game because they're the better team.
Yep.
Right? But defensively, across the, you know, I don't say across the board, but defensively, secondary notwithstanding, the Bucs have a really good front.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Vinny
JPP
Curry,
made some moves JPP, last night that were insane.
It's unbelievable, right? And you forget Gerald McCoy is in there, which is awesome. Did you hear the sound because he was mic'd?
I did.
When he hits when Big Ben. He's like, sorry, Ben. Which is, it was actually cool.
It was cool.
That access is neat. But offensively, the Bucs have more talent, man. It just is what it is. And
although, unless you consider Juju Smith-Schuster he's an emerging, wait for it, superstar.
I agree.
He might be.
I can't call it yet, but he's getting there, right? But
he's getting there fast.
You're right. O.J. Howard's a stud.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, DeSean Jackson's a stud. Mike Evans is a stud. Even Cameron Brate's a great red zone target. He scored a touchdown last night for the
Tampa. Went to Harvard, right? Didn't he go to Harvard,
too?
Yeah,
Harvard to Harvard.
That's amazing.
That's what they called it last night. But if it wasn't for those turnovers, so we had the one fumble that scored points. Yeah, Fitz's pick six that scored points.
That's the batted pass as well,
the
which goes down as a pick, but a little bit unlucky.
It was going in, so it's taking points off the board.
That's what I'm saying.
There's at least 17 points the wrong way for the Buccaneers, and they only lost by three.
The only thing I would say is that's not different than a lot of the other meltdowns Fitzpatrick's had in his career.
True.
Like if he was,
but I'm
little,
not putting them all on him.
Neither am I, because it's irresponsible and it's lazy to do that.
You're right.
But there is a past, and, you know, I think it was Booger left. And by the way, I still don't know who's, like, the main star in the...
It's frustrating.
It's weird.
It's frustrating to listen to.
Booger's really good. I think Joe does a solid job. Witten's going to be solid eventually, you know, and he's okay now, but I think he'll be better.
It's frustrating to listen to.
They've got to distinguish who the star is in that booth. Because right now, it's Booger.
It's random talking all the time because his mic is open all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Which is interesting also because all you hear is the ambient noise. Or it's not ambient. It's loud.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd noise. So they're shouting the entire time.
I'm surprised. Joe's a yeller for sure. I'm surprised. A little bit like Carlin. He's excitable, mm-hmm. which I don't mind. Actually, I enjoy that.
No,
Kevin's
you
great.
It. You need it, actually.
That energy, I've always like that. But they don't step on each other that often.
No, which is amazing considering they're not all standing next to each other.
No, you can't. Like, you know, when you and I are doing a show, obviously, if you're watching us here on the telecast, on the simulcast, of course we'll step on it. It's the nature of radio. But
yeah. Part of it's on purpose, though.
Sure. You don't want to have an organic conversation. Mm-hmm. But, like, when we're doing an interview, I know if you've got a follow-up question, Tico look at me, kind of raise his eyebrows, or give him, you know, let me go, I got it. I'm like, yeah, you got it. So, but they can't even do that.
I know.
And I can't imagine they have a producer or somebody orchestrating that from the truck, a director.
There's no way they
There's
can.
No way.
Yeah. It's
because that would be paralyzing to both talents.
You're right.
And Joe.
You're right.
So... All right, Roberta is in Indiana. Get the phones cooking here, 1-855-212-4227. And Roberta's up first on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. Roberta, how are you today? What's happening?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
We are good. And what you got for us on Lev Bell?
We remember you. You called before,
I know,
right?
Of course.
Yeah,
I've called you guys several times. And I want to commend you guys. You guys have a great show, and you do treat your callers well.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
The other day, I called in on another show in the morning because I was working afternoon, so I couldn't listen to you guys that day. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you cheated on us.
Nice.
Roberta, you cheated on us.
They kind of, like, you know how you see it afterwards? Like, they kind of made fun of me afterwards, and I thought that was kind of tasteless.
Wait,
so.
Wait, somebody at CBS Sports Radio? Or a different
no,
network?
No, I don't
believe we're
going
to have to beat somebody up here.
Right,
although
good.
We can't
it
beat up Tess.
It was a Boomer sure. show.
Ah.
And it wasn't Boomer, I will say that.
Oh.
Okay.
We'll take care of Boomer.
We'll have some words with Gio. It's all good.
Gio.
I just want to commend you guys. You guys are great with that. But as
Thank
far
you.
As Val goes, yep. I just think at this point, he's gone. Let's face it. It's over. It's done. It's a messy divorce. And I think the only choice that the Steelers have in their corner is either if they can get a decent enough trade, which I don't know why somebody would do it, because they can get him at the end of the year,
right.
Then I would trade him or rescind it, because otherwise you're wasting $14 million that you could spend on this defense. Let's face it, that's their weakest thing, and their special teams, because our kicker, who just got paid, for somehow lost his foot somewhere. I don't know. And I'm not knocking him. He's just having bad right now.
No, you're knocking him, and that's okay.
Yeah.
He's not doing his job right
now. If you're
that's
not
fine.
Good, you get knocked.
You're
it
not
is
doing
what
your
it
job.
Is.
Knock him.
And here's the thing, and thanks for your call, Roberta.
Thank you.
But the thing with Lev Bell is right now, you know, he's still got, what, $11 million or so left?
11.5.
11.5 left on his deal. And BT detailed yesterday there's like three or four teams.
No, there's about eight or nine that have the ability
or eight or nine
this
teams,
year to
eight
absorb
or nine
it
teams
right
that can absorb that $11 million.
Jets, Colts, Browns, Cowboys, about eight or nine. I'll get back to it later.
But if you wait a couple more weeks, that number keeps going down.
That's
so
true.
You never
but
know.
But what kind of shape is he going to be in at that point?
That's the problem. I mean, even if he is in great shape, even if he's been balling with his boys and, you know, running hills, doing whatever it is he's
mm-hmm.
doing, he's not in football shape.
Let me ask you a question.
Football shape is different. It's like trying to go play, being in great running shape. Like, I run marathons and do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if I went and played basketball, I'd be dead in 10 minutes.
Like,
you know,
played
I mean?
At St. John's in that charity game. You got your little cherry pick and layup that game.
I was terrible. It was a reverse layup.
I know
though,
it was.
Bro.
I'm just kidding.
It was a sweet reverse layup.
I remember seeing the video.
But
it was
a different
nice.
Kind of shape.
I got
you. Training and then actually doing a sport. So, and here's the thing I know he hasn't done. Taking a hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can't simulate that.
Or caught passes in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Or done all these things that he's great at. He hasn't done. So it's going to be at least a week or two once he comes back to adjust. So you're wasting those weeks even if you do decide to bring him in.
Let me play the flip side here, though. Yeah. Let's say you shave off three, four more games. Mm-hmm. That 11.5 goes down to 8 change, 7-ish, whatever. Something
right.
that you could swallow.
Opens up a lot of the league.
I was going to say it would open up the more, you know, and I have the list in my bag from yesterday. I'll get it out at some point next segment. I'll reference all the, I think it's 8 or 9 teams. I know Dallas. I know mm-hmm. the Jets, the Colts, the Browns, a few others. But while you run the risk of maybe him being relatively useless the first game or two as he gets into game shape, don't you think possibly on the back end, while the league's dragging, Once he actually gets used to getting hit again, he's fresh.
He's just ripping through people in December. That's
so
what they
I mean,
say. Fresh legs.
But is that the chance that you? Is that a chance you'd be willing to take?
But it's a new system, and that's what we don't know.
What's he got to do? He's got to run a wheel route. He's got to run a little shallow crossing route. I mean, how hard is it?
I'm not talking about him catching passes. I'm talking about him running with his offensive line. He's in concert with those guys.
Yeah. I mean,
it's one thing. It's easy to say that what he does looks easy, but it's not. You know,
but who says that?
But people will say it. Like, he's
replaceable. They don't know football.
Exactly. They don't know football.
What he does is easy. It looks impossible.
They know what he's going to do. They know what he's trying to do.
Yep.
And so when he's waiting behind them and dancing, you know, Deacon and Duncan back and forth, they know what he's trying to do. If he goes somewhere else and it's a strict zone read scheme, meaning, Lev, you got one cut. You can't dilly-dally behind your guard nowadays. You got one cut that you're going to get to make. You're going to have to run through a tackle and make yards that way. It takes some adjustment to do that if you're used to doing it a different way. And so you just worry about the system that he goes to as well as being in game shape, which he's clearly not going to be in.
Okay. All right. I mean, one note on Connor here. I know it's easy to say, you know, I know he had the fumble week one against the Browns, although he showed some great resilience and toughness. They kept going to him in overtime, and the young man held on to the rock, battled cancer. Kid's an absolute warrior, but it's just idiotic, and it's just statistically untrue to say that he's anywhere in the same hemisphere as Le'Veon Bell. You know, 15 carries, 61 yards last night, but one, and it was late. It was a big one, to be fair, but it was a 27-yard gash. And again, you could do this with other running backs around the league, to be fair to Connor, but if you take out that one 27-yard run, suddenly 14-4. You know, high 40s, whatever that. What I'm not doing the math in real time. Whatever, 14 for 44, 45. Yeah. You know, is that a guy who's going to really get the job done at Baltimore in December? You know, against these teams that you're going to have to beat. I don't know. I mean, I think the answer is probably no. I won't say fully no. To be fair to James Conner, they need him, but I think they're tired of him. I don't think he plays for him this year.
I don't either.
He's gone. All right, 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show, inbounds, out of bounds, coming up. Jay Berman's update is coming at you right now. Here's Jay. CBS, the Super Bowl season continues with a great doubleheader. First, the undefeated Dolphins, Miami 3-0, off to New England for an AFC showdown, AFC East showdown. Pats hungry for a win after a couple of losses in a row. The Dolphins, 7-point dogs, no respect from Vegas. Haven't been good in a while. They got to earn it, even though they are 3-0. And then Drew Brees coming off a big-time overtime win against the Falcons, and he set the NFL's career completion record, drives New Orleans into New York to battle Eli. And the Giants, off the respirator, they were looking a little half dead after 2 weeks. Giants look pretty good in Houston. We'll see if that carries over. The day kicks off with the NFL Today, presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. And I saw the Saints tweet this out about an hour or so ago. Romo, Jim, and Tony are doing the Saints-Giants game.
Oh, nice.
Which will be cool.
Yeah, that will be cool.
It'll be a fun game. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hopefully an unbiased call by Tony Romo.
Why would it be biased?
Because he's a cowboy.
Yeah, but it's the Saints and the Giants.
I know, but still.
Oh, you mean against the Giants?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Just saying.
You think?
No way.
Totally. Now, if it's Cowboys-Giants, maybe slants a little bit towards Dallas, but Saints-Giants, he's above that. He's a professional. All right, so here's the eight teams, by the way. The Colts, I told you I would get this. I had to just dig it out of my bag. The Colts, the Jets, the Niners, the Texans, the Browns, the Jaguars, the Titans, and Dallas. Mm. At least $12 million in cap space right now. And the problem with that list, this goes back to Le'Veon Bell, and right now, who could trade for him? You know, even as a Jets fan, now if the Jets are 2-1, or if they would have, I just feel like it's not the right time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that from the Jets' point of view.
It's not worth it for this season.
I don't think so.
No.
Without Garoppolo, why would the Niners do that? Lamar Miller's fine. Texans have bigger fish to fry than their running backs. Yep. I mean, they're 0-3. Their head coach is a mess right now. I mean, the Browns actually have a couple of good options back there. But could you imagine the Steelers and Browns doing a trade? No way.
No, definitely not. And they just drafted Chubb. So,
yeah, but you can still duel, you know, two-head.
I mean,
Duke Johnson, too. You got a couple guys back there.
And Carlos Hyde.
And Carlos Hyde, who's not bad.
Their running back room is full.
True.
And it's in the same division. There's no way that's happening.
The Colts, not that they would be averse to it. I just, you know, what are they, 1-2? They wanted Washington.
Yeah, but if they had Le'Veon Bell, it might be a little bit different.
Maybe. I'll give them a maybe.
The Colts are one.
I'll give them a maybe. Jaguars, unless Fournette was really banged up, and he'll be back soon, I don't think the Jags need to do that. I don't think.
No, unless Fournette's injury is more serious than they're letting on.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think it would. I don't think it is.
I don't think so either. It's not structural. It's a hamstring. That should be okay eventually. The Titans and Dallas. And again, Dallas, they got to get Dak right. I don't know. Maybe getting somebody like Le'Veon Bell next to Zeke would help, but that doesn't seem very likely.
You don't have two stars in the backfield like that. Tennessee and the Colts. So it's two of the AFC South. That's where I could see it happening.
All right. Ready for inbounds, out of bounds?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, let's do it. Last night's game, Steelers tight end Vance McDonald, the mush job, a bone-crushing stiff arm to the face of Bucks defensive back Chris Conte. This entire family tree felt it. Punching Conte to the ground en route to a 75-yard catch, mush, and run. During the play, McDonald punched him in the face, continued to push on his face mask until Conte fell over and was not apologetic after the game.
Yeah, just punish him. I mean, inflict as much force on him as possible. That's the first thing I think of.
The funny thing is, he actually laughed, and I saw that whole interview. If you hear that, you're like, man, this guy's
a gangster.
He is mean. But he actually kind of laughed and yucked it up. But point proven, he shoved him into next week. In or out, as the NFL cracks down on plays that could lead to head injuries, stiff arms to the head should be outlawed.
Out of bounds.
You better
obviously
say that.
Is it fair? No, it's not fair. They shouldn't allow it, but this is out of bounds. They can't crack down on the stiff arm. This is the stiff arm, man. It's immortalized. The Heisman Trophy.
Exactly. Boom.
That everybody does wrong because of Desmond Howard, by the way.
True.
But anyways, no, they can't outlaw this. It's such a great play when it's done correctly and executed with precision like Vance McDonald did.
Hey, listen,
night.
You don't want to be a YouTube folly. Don't be lazy. And don't try to tackle with your chest.
Agreed.
I mean, who the hell am I to critique anybody tackling at that level?
Go low.
But you got to go low.
I agree.
Your leverage, your weight, your balance is compromised. And I don't care how strong you are. You're going to get knocked around. Out of bounds, 100%. No way.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Now, on Sunday, this was interesting. Kind of buried in because it was the last play.
Yeah.
I actually saw this live here.
And I didn't realize it. I was watching it live and didn't realize it until after the fact.
Well, I was dialed into this guy. I had the Colts in that game. I had the Colts getting six, 5.5-6. Colts trailed the Eagles 20-16, just under a minute to go. Andrew Luck drove the team shy right around midfield, 4 seconds on the clock. Head coach Frank Reich brought backup Jacoby Brissett into the game to throw the Hail Mary bomb, which fell incomplete. Actually, almost threw it out of the end zone. It wasn't a bad throw.
No, it was
got tipped around.
Perfect. If T.Y. Hilton is doing what he's supposed to do, which is be the trailer as opposed to trying to jump at the jump, he's not the jump ball guy.
No.
He's the trailer. He actually might have caught it.
It hit turf inbounds at the back end of the right end zone.
And that's where the trailer's supposed to be, T.Y.
Okay, good stuff, Teague. Inbounds, out of bounds. Colts fans, though, should feel confident that Luck has overcome his arm and shoulder issue. That was interesting.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT. I don't know if he has overcome those issues. I mean, otherwise, why sit him down? There's no risk that he's going to hurt himself. But if he can't loft it 60 yards or 55 yards or whatever it was, then there's clearly some issue that you're worried about. So out of bounds, you should be a little bit worried. Do I think it's going to be a long-term issue? No, but he's not fully healthy if you're not letting him throw that pass.
This is worrisome here, and I really don't want to overreact, but you have to because you think about the structure of the shoulder muscles, and when you watch a pitcher long toss or you watch I'm going to use baseball. That's what I did. All right, throwing a baseball. And when you long toss, if you had a shoulder or elbow issue, generally, before you start throwing it on the clothesline, you got to get air under it to actually make up the distance.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's almost like a shot put because if you throw it on a line, it's just you don't have enough strength there. So the easier thing to do is to throw it in the air rather than throw it zip with no air underneath it. So this is absolutely worrisome. Yeah, out of bounds. I wouldn't feel very confident. And by the way, you and I, and rightfully so, killed Bradford for his yards per attempt average. Mm-hmm. It went up a little bit before he got benched this week, but he was right around 4.5,
yeah,
which was worse. You know who's second worst in the NFL?
Who?
Andrew Luck at 5.34 yards per attempt.
Wow.
He ain't throwing it downfield.
No.
I'm a little worried. We got to keep an eye on this.
That's a good nugget there.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. During Urban Meyer's 3-game suspension, OC Ryan Day took the reins for the Buckeyes. They won 3 times. They beat TCU, Ohio State. So impressive that they reportedly considering naming Day, quote, as their coach in waiting once Urban leaves the program, though Meyer and AD Gene Smith had denied the report. All right. Now, you may recall Syracuse Hoops had a similar situation. I remember this for years.
Yeah.
Mike Hopkins, remember they named him the coach in waiting, but he left to coach Washington. Once Boeheim chose to stick around, the same thing happened with Will Muschamp in Texas after Mack Brown retired. Muschamp went over to Florida. Jimbo Fisher did take over for Bowden, so it did happen there at Florida State as the coach in waiting. In or out? The idea of a coach in waiting, it's a good question. I like this.
Yeah.
Is inbounds or out of bounds?
It's unconventional, but I want to say inbounds, BT, because I think it's important for organizations to have continuity, especially if a coach is getting older. And this isn't the case necessarily for Ohio State right now. Urban Meyer's not going anywhere in the short term, but it grooms that next guy just in case.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what's going to happen. We had no idea who Ryan Day was when he got named the interim. They had other guys who had coaching experience on that staff, including Greg Schiano. But Ryan Day did a heck of a job, mostly because Dwayne Haskins is balling. He's big. He's like a bigger, stronger, faster, better quarterback than Ohio State's had in a really long time. But I like this idea because it keeps continuity should something occur, like which we almost saw this offseason.
So you say that it's inbounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm conflicted here. My answer is inbounds. I'll get it out of the way. Inbounds as a theory, but not always inbounds in terms of actual application. There's too many variables, too many moving parts. It could be an NCAA sanction. It could be, you know, and like there could be a complete change to the conference, you know, that's unforeseen at the time, you know, where things change.
No, that happens.
It's happened a lot the last 10 years. Matter of fact, it's almost unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. Conventional theory's been thrown out the window with conference realignment. So I do like it. It sounds good. It, in theory, leads to stability with recruits. Once I leave, if I leave, this guy's here. He's my lieutenant. He knows the drill. But I've seen it not work out way too many times. I'll say inbounds with a caveat. Not always working.
Are you in or are you out?
Baseball. The Rockies are a game and a half back of the Dodgers as L.A. gets set to play divisional rival Arizona. Now, despite already being bounced from the playoffs here, D-back skipper Torey Lovullo assured Rockies manager Bud Black that they would remain competitive against the Dodgers.
It hurts. It definitely hurts right now. That's kind of where I'm at. You know, we got some baseball to play, though, and I know I'll digest it and make sure that this team's ready to play against the Dodgers, who are in a race, and we know what's at stake for them, and we're not going to lay down. You know, we're going to see some guys get some days off, but the bench will be ready to go.
All right, there you go. Good stuff from Skipper. In or out, teams who are eliminated from the postseason should focus on beating teams who are in playoff races. Basically, maintain the integrity.
Yeah, it's out of bounds. I mean, you know, he said it. We're going to have our bench ready to go. I mean, going to get guys who haven't got a lot of playing time. Do we need to evaluate pre-camp for next year? We've got to get an evaluation at the end of the season. So, yes, but it's relative. So I'm going to say out of bounds. They don't need to be focused on beating good teams. They need to worry about what's important to them. In this case, the Rockies need to just worry about their team going forward.
No, I got you. You know, it's funny. Santa's hitting us with some nuanced questions here because there's really the last couple of questions, there's a shade of gray.
You could answer them either way,
yeah.
And then you have to explain it.
You know, I hear what I mean? I'm going to answer it how I've always viewed this and how I've always viewed as a baseball fan. There's a certain commitment to the integrity of the sport. So my answer is inbounds, okay? But it should never, to your point, never come at the expense of personal development or evaluation or beginning to implement a plan for next season.
Yep.
You get paid to run your team.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is set. I'm not saying trot out, you know, eight guys from AA, you know, just give them a few at-bats here. You've got to run out something that represents major league quality, and I trust he'll strike the proper balance. He sounds like he knows what's up. Inbounds, and I think he'll do it the right way.
Are you in or are you out?
Basketball, we'll do a lot of this coming up at 5 Eastern, get into Carmelo's recent take, not buying it, LeBron as well. But the Lakers point guard, Lonzo Ball, we know he's recovering from a torn meniscus, but he's admitted that he's worked on his awkward jump shot, and President Magic Johnson calls Ball's new shot beautiful.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, okay, easy, Magic. Take it easy. Head coach Luke Walton says the plan is to start veteran Rajon Rondo until Ball's fully healthy. If Rondo and the Lakers are playing well, he should continue to start over a healthy Lonzo Ball.
Out of bounds. You got to put Lonzo in there. Lonzo is your future. You let him play with LeBron. You let LeBron lift him into the type of player that you need him to become. Rondo's great, but Rondo's a part-time player, a role player at this point. So I'm
Is
saying
he really?
start Lonzo.
Role
he played player? He played great.
Role BT. Player?
He played great.
That's disrespectful. He's more than a role player. Come on, man. He's better than that.
On this team?
He's cerebral player in the NBA behind LeBron.
But what's
James.
Rondo doing? Well, he's bringing the ball up the court? No. LeBron
he's a great
is.
Defender. He's going to help facilitate the offense.
Lonzo's not a bad defender.
I understand that.
My point is, Lonzo needs to be playing.
Here's why I disagree.
He's who you drafted. Okay. To be this guy.
Okay.
He needs to be playing.
Here's the thing, though. Starting to me is only symbolic. Lonzo can still, you can still achieve getting the proper development.
Yeah, but I'm taking starting as.
You just need to hear starting at guard.
I'm talking about the spirit of what a starter is. The guy who's there to be on the court.
You know as well as I. Who's playing the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter? That's what matters. And that, you know, that's going to sort itself out. Well, that was a fast hour. All right. More on Le'Veon Bell. Who should and who could truly trade for him next?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.